Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When investment performance matters, make sure your savings are with Zurich. Visit zurich.ie to find out more.
Now, first it was the Bishop of Elphin, then it was the Bishop of Waterford and Lismore, then the Bishops of Meath, Clogher and Raphoe, all advising the parishes, their parishes, that First Holy Communions and Confirmations can go ahead from mid-August. That was despite public health guidelines saying they should not take place at this time. Then, today on the News at One, the first Archbishop to address this controversy, Dermot Farrell, said that it was his preference that First Holy Communions and Confirmations be postponed until autumn, but he also had this to say.
Of all the events, say, that are taking place, and I'm looking at them every day here, gatherings in bars, restaurants, sports events. I was in Croke Park at the weekend, 18,000 concerts. I heard discussed last night the possibility of 70,000 people attending Electric Picnic, weddings, 100 people attend, funerals, anniversaries, birthday parties. And the only gathering that seems to pose any risk is a parent taking their child along to receive the sacrament of confirmation. Now, that's simply not credible. You know, it's okay to have a bash in the Merrion Hotel with 50 people present, but yet it's not possible for a parent to take their child along to receive a sacrament.
Well, that was the Archbishop Dermot Farrell speaking on the News at One today. Our reporter Mike McCartney has been to Saltill in Galway, where he spoke to a number of people who have children that are waiting to receive the sacraments.
I do think he's right, yeah. I think they've held it off for long enough. And the fact that they're allowing weddings to go ahead, you know, there's a certain amount of trust there as well with people that are having weddings and families. So I don't see why they wouldn't trust families of children that have sacraments.
And what about the party afterwards? Is that a worry in effect?
I guess it comes down again to trust, and that trust in people to do the right thing. You know, I know ourselves, we have confirmation and communion this year, so we'll be having a small family gathering at the house, and it'll just strictly be family, and it's whoever's comfortable. I do think we're a lot further on this year as well. We had no vaccinations last year, and we had indoor dining last year. And again, that came down to trust and people doing what the government were advising when it came to masks and personal hygiene, you know, with your hands and that. So, yeah, I do think it's the right thing to do. I think, you know, trying to split it is not the right thing. We're allowing weddings to go ahead and christenings.
Would you prefer to wait until it was much safer?
No, I think he's right. I think they should go ahead. I think it's about time. I think the kids need it more than anyone.
Now, you have a little girl, I believe, for Holy Communion. That was cancelled on a number of occasions.
Yeah, it was cancelled four times. Twice last year and twice this year that have been cancelled. So we're still waiting for a date to be confirmed.
And would you have bought her dress or Holy Communion gear and now she has grown out of it?
Yeah, her dress was made. We actually just celebrated the day ourselves with her and she wore the dress, but it wouldn't fit her now, not a hope.
What about the party afterwards? There's a lot of people worried that too many people may congregate in a room.
I don't think you need to have a party afterwards. I think you can just have a little family gathering with your own family and that's it, in your social bubble.
And do you believe that the Archbishop of Dublin is right?
I do, absolutely, yeah.
And the medical advice was to wait a while. Would you go along with that?
Well, I think they're letting people into Croke Park and they're letting people, you know, congregate in different places. So why not? Let communions go ahead, confirmations.
The big worry also would be the parties afterwards. Where do you draw the line on that?
Yeah, well, people have to be responsible. That's my view on it, yeah.
I think it should be let, like, you know, open and whatever, see what's happened. I agree, like, you know, it should be open, everything. No, it's just the chapels. It's not fair on the kids as well. So.
And what about the party afterwards? A lot of people gather in places where there could be a lot of people and there's a worry. And, of course, the powers that be tell us that we should wait a while.
It's hard to say in this stage. Like, you know, I think it should be completely everything open and it's all up to person. If you want to go and party, go. If you're not, you're not. Like, you know.
Well, I think it's fair enough. You know, there's a lot of people out there who've been waiting, and especially last year there's been a lot of people getting cancelled. So this year it's been fair enough that the kids can go ahead, have their communion, join together with their family afterwards. I mean, if you're vaccinated, you can go into a restaurant, so why can't you spend time with your family? So it's fair enough, completely.
And can you see it from the point of view by those who are asking us to wait?
I can't really, to be honest. I just think, like, it's been going on long enough now, so it's time that we kind of start getting out and doing our own thing. And the communions are a big thing for our little kids, and the confirmations especially. It's their sixth class, like, your last time you spend with your friends, and it's really worth it, like, so... It's fair enough, definitely.
And that was some of the people in Galway and Salt Hill speaking to Mike McCartney a little earlier on today. Well, for more on this, we're joined by David Quinn from the Christian Advocacy Group, the Iona Institute, and by Dr. Tomás Ryan, Associate Professor in TCD School of Biochemistry and Immunology. And thank you both very much for joining us this evening. David, I'll start with yourself. And I know that you heard that interview with the Archbishop earlier. Do you agree with his sentiments?
Yeah, I do. I mean, a few weeks ago, it was reasonable and proportionate to ask the churches and parents not to have First Holy Communion and confirmation ceremonies. But like, we're in a situation now where over 70% of the adult population is fully vaccinated. And the bishops have been trying to contact the government about this, and the government is not responding. Like, we saw a meeting today between government officials and the hospitality industry. And no such meeting has taken place with church leaders, and they've been basically getting silence from the government. And a few weeks ago, when it was decided to delay reopening hospitality for a while, it was only in response to a journalist's question right at the end of the press conference that Tonis D'Elia Baratka said, no, First Holy Communion is off. So there'd be no consultation. And so there's been kind of a matter of kind of a casual indifference towards all this on the part of the government. And like, we're the country in Europe that had the longest ban on public worship of anywhere. Up in the north, they've had First Holy Communion ceremonies for weeks, same at confirmation. And in fact, the government in the north never banned any of this. They simply asked the churches if they would cooperate, and they did. But then you're allowed to go to Mass again, and the church generally, from April of this year in the north, and they said First Holy Communion ceremonies and confirmation can go ahead if you want. And now all confirmation ceremonies and all First Holy Communion ceremonies for the year have been completed in the north without any reported outbreaks. Mm. We're now at a place where I think we've actually passed out the north in terms of our vaccination program, so it seems reasonable to allow it all to go ahead in a safe fashion.
All right, Tomás, I might bring you in on that, because I think a lot of people would echo what David's saying. Indeed, a lot of them did, speaking there to Mike McCartney in Galway. You know, trust people to do the right thing. When you look at 40,000 people planning to go into Croke Park, or, you know, busy pubs and restaurants, it's hard to understand it.
I think when we start hearing narratives of personal responsibility, we need to be very sceptical. Personal responsibility just doesn't apply to situations where you can cause problems for other people. Personal responsibility doesn't apply to driving at high speeds. It's illegal because you can cause serious damage to other people. That's the case, too, with a virus. Now, the fact remains that the people who will be doing the confirmation and doing their first communions will not be vaccinated. They will not be vaccinated for some time. Furthermore, the group of people around them create the opportunity for the virus to spread in the community. And we sometimes think that when we're with people who are close to us, like our family or our close friends, that we're less likely to be in danger than when we're with strangers. And actually, the opposite is true. We're more likely to transmit the virus between people who have a close familiarity with one another. And when you're dealing with celebrations at confirmations and at Holy Communions, of course, you're creating a greater likelihood for having a spreader event than when you're in a public space with people that you're less familiar with. Mm. And I have to say that the public health advice that we've had for the past coming months has been more conservative than government decisions. We've heard from lobby groups for the restaurant sector, for hotels, and for the travel sector, who've been pushing harder and harder for government to open more than the public health advice has actually been recommending. And the church leaders can do one of two things here. They can either decide to join the restaurant sector in asking, well, they want to open up too because these people are doing that, and ignoring the fact that all of these things add up and increase the R number and increase transmission in the community. Or they could be taking what I would regard as a much more ethical, much more Christian social leadership position, which would be to do everything possible to reduce transmission of the virus in the community, to reduce the risk of further deaths, to reduce hospitalisation, and to reduce long COVID.
Okay, I might bring David back in on that, David, this idea that it would be more ethical and Christian, despite what everybody else is doing, to take a step back from the church's perspective and say, well, the pandemic is still ongoing, the virus is still spreading, children are not vaccinated, so now is not the right time.
Yeah, I mean, I can understand where he's coming from, Tomás, but, I mean, if you take countries that have been regarded as very responsible in all this and actually have lower deaths per million than Ireland, and that's countries like Denmark, Finland, Norway, they have allowed religious services for much longer than we have, without ill effect. And by the way, Denmark has allowed anybody to go into a restaurant since April, so long as, you know, social distancing and so on is maintained. And so, again, it's a matter of doing what is reasonable and proportionate. There's no zero-risk scenario here. So it's a matter, again, of what's reasonable, what's proportionate. We look at what other countries are doing. They all have their versions of NEFID. And again, I can't find a single country in Europe where First Holy Communion.
You know, it has always been thus, hasn't it, David, since the beginning of the pandemic, that we're not always in line with other countries on various different things, whether it be restaurants, pubs, sure, religious ceremonies, etc. And that's just the way it has been. Mm-hmm. So we are where we are. Does that make it right or okay for religious leaders to come out and say they think that communions should go ahead in defiance of public health guidelines or advice? Is that the Christian or ethical thing to do,
well,
do you think?
I mean, I don't think you have a moral obligation to follow unreasonable advice. And I think...
Do you think that they're in the position, from a public health perspective, to decide that it's unreasonable?
But the parents are. I mean, it's up to the parents whether to bring the children along to these First Holy Communion ceremonies. Like, we saw a picture, by the way, in the paper last week of Micheál Martin meeting five girls who had made their First Holy Communion. And he's all smiles and he doesn't raise any objections. So actually, First Holy Communion has been going on in some churches for quite a number of weeks now. So what's happening is basically, at the ordinary Mass, small numbers of parents can bring their sons and daughters to make First Holy Communion if they like. And that has been happening. And there's no reports of outbreaks as a result of this. And you see, again, what Tomás is saying there makes sense. But I mentioned the North, and they have, as I say, all the First Holy Communion ceremonies over, and they've all the confirmations done for the year, and there's no reports of outbreaks. Even though the North, by the way, has had a higher rate of infection for the last few weeks than down here, nonetheless, no reports of outbreaks as a result of First Holy Communion confirmation.
Well, when we have really high cases, north or south, we have really bad contact tracing as a result of that. Remember the conversations we had before Christmas where people were actually arguing that there was no evidence of outbreaks in restaurants and pubs because we didn't have good enough contact tracing to show it. Therefore, restaurants and pubs were safe. It was absurd then. It is absurd now. The thing about the types of socializing events that you have after confirmations and communions is the pressure that people who are close to a particular family feel to attend. I've had to refuse wedding invitations of cousins of mine in Scotland
because Scotland
is opening. It's
you were able to do that, but surely we have to, at some point during this pandemic, trust people to be able, if they feel uncomfortable about going to an event, to say no. You know, protecting people from themselves surely can only be brought so far.
The issue is that if it's permitted and if NEFIT and the government were to say it was okay, people would not even be motivated to say no. People would just think it was okay to do it.
But how do you know that? You know, I mean, maybe some people would think it's okay, but there's plenty of people out there well able to make up their own minds and say, I don't feel safe in that scenario, because they've had to do that now in different situations for the last year.
The vast majority of people have been in support of the immediate public health advice at any particular point in time. Even at the Independent Scientific Advocacy Group, we've been critical of NEFIT for the lack of overall strategy. But for the day-to-day, the week-to-week, we've been in full agreement with them for the kinds of things that you need to do to keep people safe and to try and keep the R number below one at a particular point in time. We can't expect to go to a situation where NEFIT say things are okay, but, you know, don't do them anyway. That's what the government was doing at Christmas. Mm. That is not a responsible way to manage things.
I know, but I suppose the thing is, it's not Christmas now, and, you know, a very large number of people have had their double vaccine, and I think it's 80% perhaps higher have had a single vaccine dose. You know, things are changing on this, aren't they? And when you look around you, many other things are open. You know, the pubs are open, the restaurants are open, activities and life is resuming. And yet this aspect of life, which is very important to some people, has been left alone or has been
I really think we're doing too much too quickly. We have amongst the highest case numbers in Europe. We have an R number that's steadily above one. We just opened hospitality recently. We're likely to see further increases in cases. We have increases in travel-related cases. The Delta variant is dominant. We're heading towards opening schools. And the scenarios from NPHET suggest that we're vulnerable to 1,000 to 2,000 deaths in the coming period. This is serious. We're not out of the woods yet.
All right, David, final word on that. Too much too quickly. And on that basis, then, a bad decision, really, by the bishops and the archbishop.
Yeah. I mean, Scotland is about the same population as us. And like a few weeks ago, they had 4,000 cases in one day. That's come way down. And we're up to about Scotland's vaccination rate now. The wheels haven't come off in Scotland. Nicola Sturgeon is regarded as sensible and all this, you know, the First Minister in Scotland.
Okay.
And I just think, you know, you can be overly cautious, and I think maybe we're at that point now.
Thank you both very much for joining us. One or two texts on this. I think the bishops are a disgrace, says one person. What kind of example are they giving to the children? It is the after parties they're worried about. The children won't be vaccinated. I'm a practicing Catholic, but I don't know for how long more, says Mary in County Dublin. Another person says, big time, the bishop is right. Did you ever walk up around Drumcondra or Dorset Street after a match in Croke Park? You should have seen it last weekend, says that person. You can keep your texts coming to 51551.